Like many in the community, you might have turned up at church this week for the first time since last Christmas. Some churches struggle to fill their pews at any other time of the year, but at Christmas time, many tend to crowd into services to reflect on the birth of Jesus. And there are many passages in the Bible which refer to the second coming of Jesus. So what if a figure that people believe is the Son of God were to return today? How would you respond? How would world leaders respond and authorities? Would they try to stop him? Would they believe him? Well, that's the premise of the Netflix series Messiah, which will stream on Netflix from New Year's Day. Here's a sneak peek.
He's come out of nowhere and we don't know who he is.
What do we know about him?
He's leading desperate people.
So this is a cult?
We don't know who he's associated with. He could be creating an army. Or he could be leading them to their death.
What are you doing in Syria?
Delivering a message.
A message from whom?
My father.
And who is your father?
Who is your father indeed? Joining me is the creator, writer and executive producer of Messiah, Michael Petroni. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you.
Where was the idea for Messiah born?
Well, I think it was just staring me in the face. I think in some ways it's an obvious idea. I think everyone's had the thought, that big what if. But I think what gave it traction for me is, well, what if I took that idea seriously in this modern world? And how would this modern world deal with it? How would a figure like that create influence with social media, which is so vast and fast? And so that's when the idea started to, I felt like you could really turn it into something that people would be interested in and not, yes, and avoid the cliche.
I was lucky enough to watch the first episode and I was blown away by it and I can't wait to watch more. But can you tell our listeners a little bit about the premise of the story?
Well, it's a very big, globe-trotting, geopolitical thriller about a charismatic figure that comes out of Syria. And some people are calling him the Messiah. Other people are calling him a political rabble-rouser. He gets the attention of a CIA officer that is played by Michelle Monaghan. And she is sort of driven to find out the truth about this man. Is he who people say he is, or is he bent on creating a lot of political mischief?
And why did you choose to start the story in Syria? That's where the Messiah first appears, or the character.
The character.
It's got to be very careful with how you word this.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. I mean, and that was the interesting thing about even writing the character. At first, I just called him the man. I didn't even have a name for him because I didn't want to have any kind of real. I didn't want to have an attitude. I just wanted this person to be a person, and then have everyone else kind of make in the show have their opinion about him. So he starts in Syria because at the time when I was writing it, Syria just seemed such a boiling pot of turmoil and political and religious unrest. And, you know, it also turned out that in my research for doing the project that in Islam, the prophet Jesus returns in the city of Damascus, which happens to be in Syria. So I just thought that's too much. That's just all feels right to me.
It's interesting. You mentioned the CIA agent and others. I find it fascinating the way you're telling the story from all these personal perspectives, including the man interrogating him in Israel when they eventually get to Israel.
Yeah. I think that's the whole idea. That was the approach to the show. I thought that's the only way to do the show and avoid being preaching or proselytizing about anything, because the show doesn't pretend to do that in any way. So the show is like Rashomon, the movie, where it's your summation of this figure is only through the points of view of all the other characters in the show. You actually never see this man by himself. You never find out his motives. You only ever can assume his motives from people's opinions.
Michael, how much research was involved in creating Messiah? How well do you know the Bible, for example?
Look, we did a lot of research in across the three Ibrahimic religions because they all have involve or expect or talk about a Messiah, and so. And because a lot of the show is set in the Middle East, and a lot of the characters are from all different, or all of the three Abrahamic religions, we did a lot of research into all of them. And so that took a lot of time, and we consulted a lot of experts on it. And even after the scripts were written, we then had people read them and pick them apart, just because we didn't want to be wrong or be incorrect or offensive.
Why do you believe that now is a good time to pose these sorts of questions and to present this type of a show?
You know, I think people are looking for something. I think there's a massive impulse just in the world today to reject the status quo. And I think when a society is rejecting the status quo, it's looking for something. So that seems like a good time for a guy like this to show up.
And who knows what will happen. My guest here on Nightlife is Michael Petroni. He is the creator, writer and executive producer of the new Netflix TV series Messiah, which is going to start streaming from New Year's Day. This story isn't something that, you know, you're just going to watch and it's, you know, lovely and sweet and you just finish watching it and you just put it down and you don't think of it about
it's
it again.
Not Grey's this is
something
Anatomy.
Exactly. This is something that people are going to be talking about. It's going to create debate and be controversial. The Times of Israel says Netflix could scarcely have picked a more controversial plot for its latest thriller. Do you accept that it is going to cause a stir?
Yeah, it's a stir. It is intended to be provocative, but it's not at all intended to be offensive, and I don't think it is offensive. I don't think it is. I think that it's challenging. I think it challenges people's ideas of what they believe in and why they believe.
I understand there's already a change.org petition that's been launched, against the show, even though people haven't seen it yet. What would you say to those people?
Watch the show and make your mind up first.
Are you ready for the backlash?
There's always someone that will take some issue with something that is dealing with issues that are so controversial, like religion and politics. You know, the thing that you never supposed to talk about. So the show delves deeply into it. So of course there will be people who will have, you know, take offence in one way or another, perhaps. But I think that mostly what it's going to create is debate, and that's the show is really an invitation. And I think even in the way that it's written and the way that you're introduced into the characters, the show ends up putting the question back in the viewer's lap. What do you think? And I think that gives it an opportunity for people to talk about the show.
What sort of conversations did you have with fellow EPs and producers of the program, the director, the other writers? What sort of debates have you had in the lead up to putting this all together?
I think the biggest thing in our writers' room that we constantly had to, I guess it was fight against our own prejudices, because everyone has prejudice, everyone has judgment about something other to what you believe in and what you know. And so when you're writing an ensemble piece with so many different characters from all different walks of life, from different belief systems. And when I say belief systems, like, you know, there are plenty of atheists in the show, but atheism is kind of a belief system in itself, right? So everyone has a belief system. So the thing that we really had to be very dedicated to was to not judge any of the characters. But it was amazing how often you could feel the slip of judgment in when you write a line, when a character says something in a certain way. So we really had to make sure that we weren't judging the character, but writing from that character's truth.
Reality TV heavyweight Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, who a lot of people know from Touched by an Angel. I loved watching that show when I was younger. They've jumped on board as EPs with you. How did that collaboration come about?
Mark read quite a few of my scripts. He's been a fan of my work for a long time, and he's always wanted to do something with me. I had written the pilot, for this show, for Messiah, and he really loved it. And he made the introduction for me to Netflix, which was a very big introduction, and that was helpful and probably the reason it ended up at Netflix. So that's how they got involved.
And they've both got a Christian-based background. How did that play into to how all this worked?
Well, I think
together?
That Mark and I made a deal that he was going to let me do the show the way I wanted to and have the show be what it is. And so a Christian audience can come to the show and make what they want of it. But just as much as any other sort of part of the population can enjoy the show and bring what they want to it, because like I said, the show's an invitation to make your own mind up. So, and Mark was really respectful of that.
There's a lot of contention about the blue-eyed, blonde-haired image of Jesus, which is often held up as what the Messiah might look like. How much thought did you put into the appearance of your lead character?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wanted it to be realistic, and I can't imagine someone coming out of Syria being blonde-haired and blue-eyed. So he's not. He looks like someone who would come out of somewhere in the Middle East.
And it's interesting because I think there's a line early on in the piece with between the CIA agent saying that they can't quite pick his accent.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, and that is the mystery of the character. And as the season progresses, you kind of peel back the onion on this guy and where he's from, and he's very mercurial.
How hard was it then to cast the man, as you called him?
It was, look, we looked high and low. It was, I knew it was going to be not an easy thing to find someone to play that role. Not just to find an actor who can act it, but I think you need a particular type of person who can sort of bear up under the weight of a role like that, because it really is an isolating role. So I ended up finding Mehdi Debi, who instantly was just enigmatic, and I think he is that way in the show. But as soon as I'd seen his audition, I wanted to talk to him straight away because I just wanted to know what Mehdi was like as a person. And he was so centered and calm, and I thought, oh, he's exactly the guy we need for this.
Yeah. Michael Petroni, in the series, how do you explore the way, and you mentioned this at the start a little bit, you touched on it, in which social media is used to spread his word, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of like setting it in today's world. I mean, social media is it's so influential, it's so pervasive. So in that way, it was really it became a central character in the show, actually. So social media itself is kind of another facet through which we view this character and his actions.
Are you yourself very involved with social media?
No.
It's probably a good thing considering the reaction that's going to happen when it comes out. So
you won't find me on social media.
So that's a good heads up actually for people. So Michael, if TV viewers persevered with 6 seasons of the TV series Lost, they wondered how it was all going to be explained, how it was going to end. Many were left disappointed by the ending. Is there going to be more than one season of Messiah?
Oh, hopefully. I've got way more story to tell. It just depends on how many people watch it on January 1st, let's hope.
It's interesting because you mentioned that you're turning it back onto people to make up their own minds.
Yeah.
But have you got an idea in your head as the creator and the writer of how the series will eventually end?
It's like I'm playing a funny game with myself where I can't really tell myself. So because as soon as I do that, I think I'll start writing only from that perspective. And I think it'll steer the show too much in one direction, and I don't want to do that. I think what's successful about the show is that it walks this very, very fine line from episode to episode. And I think as you watch the show from episode to episode, you change your mind about who this guy is. And I think to keep that up, I think I have to remain agnostic, so to speak.
The summary of the program on the fact sheets that we were sent says that it's a high-stakes mission to uncover whether he is a divine entity or a deceptive con artist. How much do you play on that the fact that he might be just this con artist that's just getting away with it all.
Well, I think that's a big part of the show, and the big that's a part of the thrill of the show is wherever this guy goes, he does seem to cause a lot of trouble. You know, but if you looked at the historical figure of Jesus of Nazareth, wherever he went, he seemed to cause a lot of trouble too. So,
very true, very true. So what are you hoping people will get out of the show, Michael?
Well, I hope they just enjoy it. I mean, I think it's just, it's entertainment. But I hope that I think it's a show. It's not a singular experience. I think it's something you'd want to watch with someone, or after you watch it, you'd want to talk to someone about. So I just want people to have a conversation about what they believe, whether it's what they believe about the show or if it tends into something deeper than that. I think the show can tip into that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, and looking forward to seeing the rest of the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.